Welcome to Logan City Christian Church podcast, where we bring God's word to you weekly. We pray that what you hear will bring clarity to your situation and open doors in your life. Enjoy the message.
Thank you, Ron, for yesterday morning, the men's breakfast. There's such great ministry in this church, and I'm just so pleased about that. It's just great. Really, really good. You know that Jesus is alive, right? Alive forevermore. And we're here because of that. We don't serve a dead religion. We serve a living God. And there are times that we are faced with various situations. Thank you, Graham, for your testimony. So encouraging. We can face situations that may seem to be insurmountable, no hope, that there's no way out, and many of us encounter that at least once in our life. But there's always an answer. God always has an answer for your life. Today I want to minister on this subject. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His grace. His grace is so amazing, as we'll be reminded today, and maybe if we hear it for the first time, understand who God really is through His wonderful work of grace. And there's deliverance in the house of God this morning. I don't say that lightly. I say it because it's true. And God is so amazing how He ministers to people. And I think, you know, a person said to me today, how would you describe a guy that was in a really bad way, never known God before, and had experienced such a difficult life? He said, how would you explain God to me? And he said, without saying God is love. He said, I hear it all the time. And I said, well, it's not an easy thing that you've asked, but God is kind. God is gentle. God is truth. God is light. And God really cares for your soul. And He cares for our soul. And you might say, how do you know? How can you, what evidence can you give me that God really does love me? All we have to do is look a little bit that way and see the cross of Calvary. That a man didn't have to, but he did. But he gave his life for yours. And he gave his life for mine. And he gave his life for the entire world. You might say, how much then does Jesus love me? He said this much. And he stretched out his arms. And he died for you. He died for you so that you may live. And not live a life of mediocre, but to live a life of prosperity. I mean prosperity in the right sense. That God is for you. And if God is for you, who or what can be against you? And here is the Creator of the universe, who's right behind you, He's right in front of you, He's right beside you, He's inside of you if you are truly born again. So who else do we need? The very person who spoke this world into existence is with you. The very one who gave of his life is with you. And not only is he with you, his great grace, which I'm going to explain in the next 15, 20 minutes, that is so freely given to you and to me and to every single person in this world, his great grace toward you is more than enough. It's more than what we will ever, ever need in this life. I'd like to read Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to read from verse 1. Prior to that, Apostle Paul gives an exposition on faith and Abram, the father of faith, and that here is Abram. He's around 100 years of age, and God says to him, he said, oh, look, I've got some news for you, Abram, that he didn't have any children of his own, biological children, and God says to him, you're going to be a dad. And not only are you going to be a dad, you're going to be a father of many nations. And I want to share this, that there may be times that you feel that you're getting on in life and you think, what is God going to do with me? Never give up, because God has not finished with you. Now, I'm not going to say you're going to start, you know, having children at the age of 100 and, you know, walking around like a rooster wherever you go. But what I am saying is this, is that don't take it that you're a certain age that it's all over. No. No, it's that God doesn't see age. He doesn't gauge things by your age. He gauges it by your heart and your enthusiasm and your willingness to just stretch out and do just that little bit more for Jesus. And so it's speaking about how Abram, he above all things, he just said, well, you know what? I'm near 100. I don't know how this is going to work, but I believe God. I believe God. And it was accounted to him being righteous simply because he believed. And so Romans chapter 5 from verse 1, because where you see it start with a therefore, there's a connecting, that's a connector. It's like, according to what has just been said, therefore, having been justified, so we need to find out what was previously said. As they say, when you see a therefore, you have to find out why the therefore is therefore. And I just explained it to you. So let's start from chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. When we give thanks to God for his incredible grace, we remember all of the wonderful things that God has done in your life. Maybe you're here today, or you're listening online, and you have not yet encountered the saving grace of God. Today is a good day for you then, because at the end of this meeting, there will be an opportunity for each and every person to experience this wonderful grace of God, the saving grace of God. And it's so freely given to every single person. And I believe many times people pass by it because we haven't understood what is on offer for humanity. So this morning, I just want to, and I feel in my spirit, to open up just a few passages of Scripture this morning and just trust that the Holy Spirit, who is the author of the Word of God, is going to bring to light the Word in your life this morning and just illuminate with just light the truth of God's Word and how much God really does love you. You know, people say, how could God love me? Surely he doesn't know the things that I've done in my life. I want to address that this morning as well, because God knows everything. And in spite of us, he still loves us, because that's his nature. He will never leave you, and he'll never forsake you. And whoever calls on the name of Jesus, the Bible says, will be saved. Not might be, will be. And so we serve an incredible God. We have this incredible gospel freely given to us. And if we would just believe in the true gospel of Jesus Christ. So it says, therefore, having been justified by faith. See, here is the thing. What does it mean to be justified by faith? 30 years ago or so, when I came to the Lord, just like Abram, believe God that he's with his promise that you will be a father of many nations. Chantel, when she shared the gospel with me for 9.5 years, I mean, I was a bit of a slow thinker, but it took 9.5 years for this gospel to sink in. But let me tell you, when the gospel touched the bottom of that splintery wooden barrel, it began to germinate. God needs a heart that is open, and I believe a heart that is emptied of all kinds of religion and philosophies, emptied of everything, so that there that Christ, when his word is preached, that it takes root inside of us and begins to grow. And that was certainly my case. But when I said just before that we've been justified by faith, what does that really mean? You see, justification is a work of grace. Grace is God's love in action. It's as simple as that. Being justified, the word justified actually comes from a legal term, like a court, in a court setting. That if you can imagine that a criminal is brought in to be tried in court, and they're guilty. They're guilty. And for some reason, the magistrate pardons this guilty prisoner. Let's take it now into Christianity. That there are going to be, and let me put it this way, every single person will one day stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account for our life. Every single one of us. There's no exception. Every one of us will give account. And if we get to that place without being our sins being, as they say, absolved or being forgiven through Christ, we are not going to be in a very good place. And this is why the gospel of Christ needs to be preached throughout this world. As many of you know, that through COVID and other things, I wasn't a promoter of rallies and protests. Through that time, this church and many others set their heart to a season of evangelism. And let me tell you, we saw a lot of people come into the kingdom. And while others are out there protesting, there was a remnant of those going out and using the season that we were in to sow the gospel. And it was a season of plenty of souls. It was wonderful. So in a time of darkness, God's relying on his church to do a work. When we look at the early church, they were persecuted unto death. They were murdered, thrown to lions. They were strapped on posts at night, covered in wax and lit as human torches through the night. And the average person walked by, hearing the screams of people burning to death, and thought nothing of it. Yet the early church never protested. The early church never raised a standard against the authorities of that day, because they already knew that we were already under the authority of Christ. There is no higher authority. And they knew like they knew that our job is not to jump over and to do things in human strength. Our job is to pray to God who created the heavens and earth. That do we believe that when we pray that God hears and that God moves? And we've been asked to pray for our government, not criticize. And fresh and bitter water cannot come out of the same spring. And so we can't do both. I remember the day that the Lord woke me up to this fact. And I've been, I believe, a better person since. You can be one or the other, but we can't be both. And so through this time of COVID, many people were justified. So what does justified mean? The day that you and I stand before Jesus, there will be that hearing, and there may be a sentence, as the devil would come and say to God, but Rob did this and Rob did that and Rob did all of those things. He even admitted it. And then we would stand before the Lord. He would say, yes, but he's been washed in my blood. He's been acquitted. He's been justified. Devil, there's something that you've forgotten, that he now is a child of God, that you are a child of God. And on that day when you gave your life to Christ and you asked him to forgive you of all your sin, Christ did exactly that, acquitted you, pardoned you. It was a legal and a very spiritual thing that took place. And from the time that you and I, when we came to an altar or at home or wherever it may have been that we gave our life to Christ, from the time that you got up and wiped your wet eyes dry, you wiped them dry, from that time that you got up and walked on, you were acquitted. You were innocent. You were pardoned. Not by a lawyer or a magistrate here on earth, but by God Almighty. By God Himself. He says, no, I have forgiven him. I have forgiven you. Therefore, you stand before Almighty God justified, just as if you have never, ever sinned once in your life. Isn't that something? That is something to shout about, to be excited about, because we have been justified. We have been forgiven. And how the devil try and works on our past and trying to bring our past into our present. And at times we already know the coming day it's going to be in our future. Oh, but if the church of God would grab hold of this every day, devil, I've been justified. Yes, that was me, past tense. That's not me, present tense. Christ has forgiven me. As far as the east is from the west, so too has he forgotten all of my past, all of your past. Is this ministering to somebody this morning? Why don't you just praise God and shout something? Because it's gospel. It really is. And so Jesus, or the word of God, says here, therefore, having been justified by faith, and what did we do? Did I have to sell my house and all my assets and give it to the church so that I could be in favor with God? No. That's a false religion. You give money, and then that way your sins will be absolved according to how much you give. That is not the church of Jesus Christ. That's not it. And if you've ever been caught in that, you will find this one thing, that while you've got money, you feel like maybe I'm in right standing with God, but when you're broke, you feel lousy because you think, I've got nothing to give, so therefore I'm a hopeless sinner. Salvation does not come through works. It doesn't come through how much money can be given to the church. It's none of those things. It's by faith and faith alone, by believing. And I'm presenting to you the gospel of Jesus Christ today, that he died for you. He gave his life for you. And that whoever calls on the name of Jesus, he said, you will be saved. You'll be saved, you'll be cleansed, you'll be given a new nature. All your past will be gone. Your future, your present and future, wonderful in God's kingdom. And it all would come to your life today if you would just say, Lord, I believe you. at your word. Now, the next challenge that'll happen, I guarantee you this, is to think, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. You know what? We're not. How's that? But he made you worthy by what he did for you. Can you imagine? Like, I was listening to Mick this morning in the prisons and taking communion into the prisons. I'd never heard that. I just thought, Christ is everywhere, reaching out everywhere. But how many in the prisons would feel that they're not worthy? In fact, Jono up the back there, same, into prisons. Sorry to wake you up there, brother, but that's okay. I'm kidding. That was a joke. I'm letting you know today, Christ has made you worthy. And the reason why we feel unworthy is because there's nothing we can do in our natural strength to make us worthy, and we know that. And so therefore, we've got to rely on what someone else has done for us and lean totally on him, which is Jesus. And the only way that we can experience that, if we give our life to him, it's the only way. There are no other ways. Jesus said, in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And nobody can get to God the Father except through him. There's no other way. I know I've said this before, but one guy was saying to me, oh, you Christians are so narrow-minded. You think you're the only ones that have the only way. He said to me, you're so narrow-minded, you can look through a keyhole with both eyes at the same time. And I thought that was pretty funny. But sometimes the truth of the gospel makes it look like that. It can. You see, we're living in a day, today, that there are people see it as there are truths around. And my truth doesn't have to be your truth. And your truth doesn't have to be my truth. And if we can respect each other's truths, that way we can coexist together and we can live in tolerance and acceptance. That's the world we're living in today. And as soon as somebody says, actually, the Bible says, you're automatically branded a religious fanatic. There is only one truth. Jesus said, I am the way. In other words, he said, if you're looking for a way to make peace with God, there's only ever been one way and only will ever be one way. And Jesus is saying, I'm the way. So if you want to get to God, to be at peace with God, Jesus is your only person. He's the only one. He is the only one. God provided one way for humanity to make peace with God. One way. And it's not even a religion. It's a way of life. It's a relationship. And God's word makes it clear that if you call upon the name of Jesus as your first step and yield your life to him, you'll experience that pathway is such a beautiful place. So Jesus said, I am the way. And he said, I am the truth. So if he is the truth, anything that tries to resist or project otherwise as to the truth of Jesus, then automatically makes it a lie. I was 30 years of age when I got saved, and I believed a lie. I believed, oh, well, everyone told us that, you know, in school, we evolved from monkeys. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a great motivator for self-esteem? No wonder the world has a problem with self-esteem and motivation. Why are you down today? Oh, my great-great-grandfather was that much more of an ape than I am, and it's just not helping me a lot. Can you imagine? The theory of evolution, that's all it ever graduated to, only a theory. The theory of evolution is such a lie. And it takes more to believe the whole story of these possibilities covered with billions of years, because that's where it hides. It hides in this time frame that no one really knows exactly how it happened, but it happened in this time frame when we didn't, when we had our back to it, weren't looking, but it happened. No, it didn't. You see, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning. Praise God. And so we have been justified by faith. If you truly have made Christ your Lord and Savior, you have been justified. You have been acquitted of everything that you've done wrong in your life. It's been paid for when Jesus died on the cross and God raised him from the dead. Jesus rose as the high priest. And in Hebrews chapter 9, it makes it clear how he himself presented his own blood into heaven in the mercy seat, the place where the blood would be poured to make peace for a nation in the Old Testament. Well, guess what? The original one's in heaven. And right now, the mercy seat in heaven, the blood of Jesus is there right now. It's not in a shroud somewhere or on a face covering. It's not, you know, anywhere else. No, it is in heaven. And Jesus being the sacrifice, Jesus being the person, innocent, born of a virgin, 100% God, 100% man, went and showed us how to live life. How to do relationships, and he taught us so many things, and we have his word to continue this on a daily basis. And then he himself gave himself as an offering for sin, that he himself became the spotless sacrifice without spot and blemish. And then when he was crucified, he paid the price for our sin. He went to the grave, totally relying on God himself to raise Jesus from the dead. See, Jesus' mission was to do what God showed him to do. He was going to the grave. And he was so reliant on God and God's faithfulness that God was going to raise him from the dead. And we know that on the third day that Christ rose from the dead. He rose victoriously. Far above all sin, sickness, disease, and everything that has a name in this world that is, you know, of the devil, it is subject to the name and the authority of the name of Jesus. And so when Jesus was raised from the dead, he then took on the role of the high priest to present his own blood, who was the sacrifice, into heaven to atone for the sin of the world. In other words, to pay the price for our sin. This is grace. And so therefore, because when you and I, you know, when I was 30 years of age and I came to Christ and I asked him to forgive me of my sin, not knowing then, but I realize now, I was making a claim on the blood of Jesus that is eternally in heaven on the mercy seat. If you haven't met Christ yet and you do not yet know Christ, today is going to be a great day for you. Because you too, this opportunity given, you too can ask Christ to forgive you, and all of your sins will be washed away, totally forgiven, all because of this great grace. How often do we thank God for his grace? Wonderful grace, the grace of God. But it goes on to say, having been justified by faith, wonderful victory. It says, we now have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Prior to our salvation, mankind, there was no way that he or she were at peace with God. And that's why we see so many different religions and so many different philosophies and ways of life to try and fill that void in the heart of mankind. And so man's always searching for something. Depending upon what he finds, takes him to where it'll lead him. But I want to let you know today that Christ himself is the only answer to bridge that gap from humanity that was once so broken and in sin to be at peace with God. It's only Jesus. It's only Jesus. There's nobody else. There never will be anybody else. It's him or it's nothing. And I really believe that in my heart today that there are going to be some that you're going to say yes to Jesus, because he's your only option. He's your only option. But to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that word peace is the Greek word irene, which actually means to join together all the broken pieces. So many come to Christ broken, life destroying and breaking people. You see, the devil is a tyrant, he's cruel, he's merciless. He comes to do nothing else but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came to give life, and life in its abundance. And Jesus, in the salvation that we've been justified as if we'd never ever sinned, we come into the family of God, and there God begins to put all the broken pieces together in one's life so that you can be whole again. Wholeness only comes through Christ. Salvation only comes through Christ. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace, we have wholeness, we are put back together originally how God designed us to be, with the absence of guilt and shame of the things that we've done wrong in the past. How good is that? Come on, somebody say something, because this is good news. It is the gospel. Praise be to God. And so for us that have been saved for a number of years, how often do we give thanks for God's grace? So what is God's grace? God's grace is his favor toward you that has no limit. His favor toward you, and it doesn't have a limit. Another expression of grace, I've shared this from this pulpit before, that it's Christ leaning forward, trying to get your attention to say, here I am. Hello, I'm here, leaning toward you to bestow upon you great favor, great blessing of God. And it's in the setting that if a person was walking along and there were a line of people, and one person's trying to offer you a pamphlet on some Eastern meditation, and someone with Buddha, and someone with this, and somebody with that, and they're all just standing there, but grace is Jesus reaching out in front of all the all of those others and say, hey, I'm here. I'm what you need. I'm the one that you're looking for. And he's making himself so available and obvious to see, to choose him. That's grace. Grace is also an empowering ability. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 how Apostle Paul was going through so many tests and trials, and almost you can hear him saying, Lord, all I'm ever doing is preaching the gospel and doing what you called me to do. And it seems like since I started, all I'm doing is being persecuted. So Paul prayed this prayer three times. Lord, I want you to take the persecution away from the ministry, away from my life, so that I don't have any distractions with persecution, so I can get on with what you called me to do. And he prayed three times. And Jesus kind of like, seems like he didn't even hear him, which he did. But he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My empowering ability, my favor, I'm always going to be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That when you signed up, I said I would be with you, and I'll be with you to the end. Have you ever been in a place where you felt that God's left you behind and you got interested in somebody else and just like, oh, I'm just feeling like I'm left by myself? Anyone ever felt that before? Amen. Well, guess what? He hasn't. He's still there. He is still there. And he will always be there. Praise be to God. The peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into his grace. You know, I remember saying to Chantel a number of times that she was saying, you know, Jesus is calling you. You know, you've heard the whole gospel. You know what my thing was that was hindering me? Because I figured that if God is holy like he is, and that, you know, creator of the universe and he has order, and this is what was going in my mind, then I need to get my life cleaned up first so I can be respectable, so that when I come to Jesus to get saved, that I'm not disrespecting him. Has anyone done that before? So I tried. From drinking around a carton of beer a day, I got back to maybe half of that. And I tried. I thought, I'll try and be nice. I'll try and do this. I'll try and do that. You know, I was wearing myself out with the trying. Nothing worked. The more I tried, the harder it got. It's because I didn't understand grace. And I remember one particular night, I said to Chantel, if I feel the same way, I'm going to give my life to Jesus tomorrow. And that night started a series of about 3 to 6 months, I can't remember exactly, being attacked by demons at night when I was asleep, visitations of the demonic, and it was horrible. But I remember this one night, I had enough. I'd been on substance and drink that day, and I tried to go to sleep. I was too scared to sleep. It was really, really a dreadful thing. And I said to Chantel, because I had another one of those things that would just come into my bedroom, physical form, and just try to finish me off. And that night was a big one. And we went into the dining room, I think it was. Was it the dining room? At 2 a.m. in the morning, in your PJs, you've been drinking and, you know, all day, and I gave my life to Jesus like that. It was so foreign to me. I thought, how could anyone disrespect God like that? Now, I didn't decide, like, I'm going to get drunk and I'm going to, you know, and then so that I'll go to God. Like, I never intended it to be that way. And I don't think that would be the right thing to do. But it was the state that I was in. I understand. Jesus just wants you to come as you are. Broken. In pieces. And that day that I gave my life to Christ, oh, let me tell you, I've said it before 100 times, if not more, it felt like someone grabbed inside of me and pulled this dead man out of me, and I felt so different. You see, the following day and the days after, I wasn't bound by alcohol. I wasn't bound by anything anymore. There was a habit still there that I habitually went to do it and then realized I don't need it because I had peace. What was missing in my life was now there, full to overflowing. Folks, if you're trying to find peace any other avenue apart from Jesus, you're going to be disappointed. The only way you can be at peace with God is through Jesus Christ. It's the only way. And I remember the next day, because we had a palm farm. We didn't grow palms. There's palm trees. And I went down there, and for the first time, I watched a spider spin a web, and my eyes started leaking. I don't know about you guys, but a lot of us fellas, we're brought up, so real men don't cry. Anyone ever know that one? Real men don't cry. Well, guess what? When Jesus gets hold of your heart and begins to soften it, real men do cry. And it's okay for real men to cry. And I watched this spider spin a web, and the trees were beautiful and the grass was green. I'm thinking, how long has it been like this? It's just a new day for me. You see, God will do a work in your life right now if you give your life to him. It'll be a new day. A new day. In verse 3, I haven't finished verse 2. We have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand. As another message there, I don't have time. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Look, there is just so much more there that I could get into. We just don't have time, but I will say this, that if you're going through tribulation and tough times, God's grace is more than enough to get you through, is more than enough. Can I just finish on one scripture? It'll probably only be about 5 minutes, but I feel it's just really important that I share this, because here is the thing that, for me, it took a while for the realization to hit me that I was saved by grace and not anything that I did. Some of us guys, I don't know about ladies, I've never been a lady and I'm not intending to. I was born a man, I'll stay a man, and I'm happy with that. Praise the Lord. But as men, we like to try and fix things, work things out and fix everything. And when we come to spiritual things, we realize that nobody can fix spiritual things apart from Jesus. It's the only way. And for some of us men, it's a humbling thing to actually accept that. But once we do, it's done, and we receive and understand that for ladies, you know, when you say, oh, Jesus loves you, you know, you'll be his bride at the, you know, catching away. Have you ever thought what it feels like for a guy to read that? I'm going to be the bride? Well, we know what it means, but I want to read something here, because I'm trying to put this the best way with the most impact. So many walk away from Christ or are discouraged because we just can't get over that hump of our past life. It's a big deal, trust me. For those of us here today, you've been pastoring for quite some time, you know what I'm talking about. And the devil tries to tie up people so tightly that they can't move. And I believe that we as Christians, we all have a ministry. It's one thing to lead someone to Christ, and that's wonderful. But the next step is to disciple them, to lead them from darkness to light, so that they understand. And in John chapter 11, we read the story where Jesus, he's one of his favorite family friends, you know, there was Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. And then Jesus gets the message, Lazarus has died. And Jesus was really upset. So Jesus, in a few days, makes his way back there. And one of the sisters said, Jesus, if you were here, he wouldn't have died. Jesus just didn't entertain those things at all. But this is what he did. Here was Lazarus in the grave. He'd been there 4 days. And one of them said, Lord, if you think you're going to raise him from the dead, I mean, I'm putting this in my own words, he'd been there 4 days, he's going to smell. Jesus just focused. But he said something to them that I believe is speaking to us today. He said to them, you need to roll that stone away. Jesus wasn't going to do it. And I think there are times in our lives that maybe we haven't realized there's something we have to do. I need to roll a stone away. You see, that stone represents finality, death. It'll never live again. And our faith in Jesus Christ is one of the first steps to say, my Lord is with me. There is life beyond that stone, but I will roll that stone away. It's not works, it's faith. And the second thing that happened, Jesus cried out and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And out he came, alive, bound hand and foot. And Jesus did not then say, "Praise the Lord, it's all done, hallelujah, everyone back to business as usual." No, he said, "Loose him and untie him." And to me, this is one of the most important things that I think is being missed in discipleship and in Christianity today. We get people saved, but they need to be loosed. Untie them. Untie them. And that takes one-on-one. That is another realm of grace. A lot of those bandages are a person's past. We cannot allow our past to define our future. You cannot walk backwards into the future. And so what I have to just read is three verses. That when I read this as a newly saved Christian, wow, I didn't understand a lot of the words, but I got the message. And let me read this to you. From 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, I'll close from here. That's my first close. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." And unfortunately, too many people stop at verse 10 and do not read the grace loaded in verse 11. "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our Lord." So what am I saying here today? The Church of Jesus Christ today, around the world, the Church Universal, has in their congregations people that were fornicators, but now are born-again Christians that love God, serve God, have been forgiven, washed clean. There are idolaters and adulterers that one time came to Christ and confessed their sin to him, and Christ forgave them. They were washed. They were cleansed. They were forgiven. They were sanctified, waiting for the glorious day of the return of Jesus. And within the congregations around the world, there'd be idolaters, as I've mentioned before, and adulterers. There'll be homosexuals and sodomites, ones that lived that lifestyle, that chose to come to Jesus. And Jesus forgave them. He washed them clean. He set them apart and with a new heart and a new nature, that they are in churches today around the world as a living testimony of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're free, they're forgiven, they're not to look back, but to look forward. Jesus loves all people. The Christian church loves all people. No exception. But I notice here how the Bible's making it clear that these people, obviously at some point, came to Christ, but Christ loved them enough not to leave them as they were, but to lead them on to greatness, into holiness, into children of the living God. And around the world, thieves, covetous people, drunkards. I was one of them. Revelers, people that are just like the slanderers and just not nice people, extortioners. They'll rip you off while they're making a promise. Such were some of these people in the world, but they encountered the grace of God and he changed them. Their life totally changed. Now, that doesn't make you feel like jumping up and doing a lap around the block. Nothing will. Because such were some of us. And today I want to present to you and offer to you and those watching online that if you feel today that you're unworthy or not making the grade, well, guess what? There's an answer to that, and his name is Jesus. I'm going to give an altar call. An altar call is when I give an opportunity for those to respond, to just raise your hand and say, yes, that is me. I'm ready for that today. I need this. I need Jesus. Let me say this. Don't let it go another day. Don't let it go 9.5 years like me. It's just like, what is wrong with you, boy? When I received Christ, I realized, why did it take so long? It wasn't God. It was me. Praise God. When Christ saves you, he saves you. He forgives you. And you're accepted into the family of God. Look, there's so much more I could say about the gospel. We're out of time. So that's today. Today is the day of salvation. Now I want you to be bold, be strong in your decision today. Because either way, we're going to make a choice. This morning, you're going to make a choice, yes or no to Jesus. It's as simple as that. But if you choose to say yes to Jesus, I can guarantee you this much. You are going to experience a peace in your heart that you've never experienced before. A wholeness, contentment that Christ is with you and he is never, ever, ever going to leave you. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, can we all just stand? If you're able, if you're not able to stand, stay seated. I'm going to make this very easy this morning, but it's up to you from here. I'm going to lead you through a prayer very similar to the one that Chantel led me in some 30 years ago. Can you imagine 30 years ago? I don't look a day over 40 or a bit. And if you truly mean from your heart what you're about to pray, the greatest miracle that can ever happen to any human being will happen to you today. It'll happen for you. And that is this grace, this forgiveness, this justification, just as if you've never sinned. How good is that? How good is that? All right, if we could just do this for a sec, in respect to the Lord, if we bow our heads. You can close your eyes if you wish. You don't have to. But I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to ask if you, I'm asking if you can repeat this after me. And if you do, and you mean it from your heart, Jesus is going to do a wonderful work in your life today. Are you ready? Okay. Please follow me in prayer. Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that you, Jesus, are the Son of God and you died for me. God, did you raise him from the dead for me? This day, I confess everything I've done wrong before you, Lord. And I ask that you would forgive me and justify me, just as if I have never sinned once in my life. Jesus, I give my life to you. Amen. Now, while every eye is closed and every head's bowed, or If you've prayed that prayer for the first time today, can you do something for me? Very quickly, raise your hand up very quickly. I see that hand over there. I see that hand over there. I see three hands. Are there any more? Anyone here this morning? I see two hands over there. I see another one here. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Praise be to God. Now, you can put your hand down. Praise be to God. I'm going to ask you to do a second thing, if you would be so bold. I feel in my spirit to pray for you. Would you be so bold to come forward and let me pray for you? Allow me to. Would you do that? Just come just quickly. Don't be shy. And if you're shy, just get someone that you came with, whatever to take you. We drag them down and say, hey, I'm a chicken today. Just come with me. That's okay. It's all right. Amen. Praise the Lord. And some more. There's some more. Isn't it a wonderful thing to see salvation in the house of God? Praise God.
Thank you for joining us. We pray God's richest blessing on your life. If you haven't already, make sure to join us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can also find us at LoganCityChristianChurch.com. See you next week.